Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Book Talk with Lawrence J. King. From coast to coast, across the nation, Lawrence is an internationally known six-time published author. Book Talk highlights published authors from the local, regional, national, and international scene, as well as showcasing musicians and people of interest in a positive and productive way. Give a rockin' warm welcome to your host, Lawrence J. King.
All right. This is Lawrence J. King in the house, and thank you for that wonderful and warm welcome. And today it is my privilege and honor to have with me an outstanding musician from the Nashville music scene. His name is Brandon Lee Harris. He's got it going on. He's got songs out there currently sweeping the nation and around the world, for that matter. And so without further ado, I'd like to bring him onto our show and interview him, you know, about his life, his music, you know, things of that nature. And should be quite an interesting show today. So, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Good day, Brandon. Are you there?
Hey, Lawrence. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Welcome to Book Talk Radio.
Awesome. And happy Sunday.
Absolutely. So, how has the COVID-19 affected the Nashville music scene?
You know, it's really affected the venues. They've just been on hold, you know, like under ice. You know, it seems like they've just been unable to open up, unfortunately. And so I know there's definitely, you know, some different cases of places like having to really like find support from, you know, the various organizations that have been raising funds to support and hold on to these venues just so they can pay their mortgage or lease. And, there's still, I know there's a national venue, independent venue, you know, organization that has gotten like signatures from, you know, top performers and supporters of just to raise that awareness into the, you know, leaders in Washington, D.C. so they can, you know, allocate some relief funds for businesses like these venues. And so Nashville's, since we got so many venues here, it's kind of a domino effect, you know, on people, employees, and of course concerts. There's just not been any concert opportunities really. People just been doing a lot of live stream, or, you know, like maybe they'll play a concert at a stage, but nobody's in the audience, you know, just similar to the, like the athletics, you know, how they've been having like empty stadiums or empty courts. And I mean, it's just something I feel like we've all kind of never seen before.
Absolutely. So Brandon, take our listening audience into your life. Let's go back to things like, you know, where you were born, how you grew up, where you lived, what got you into music in general, for that matter.
Totally. Yeah. So I was born in 1986, January 29th, and it was in Nashville proper. And it was the day after the space shuttle had exploded, if that gives anybody any time frame of what would have been, you know, going on around that time. But I and the number one single on Billboard charts was That's What Friends Are For, which was, I think, Dionne Warwick and Stevie Wonder. I was kind of born in Nashville, family of musicians. You know, dad produced, he's produced and written for over 40 years here in Nashville, and doing jingles, you know, and country and gospel. My mom, who he performs with as Rodeo and Juliet, they've been playing under that name over the past like 11 years, I think, approximately. And then my brother, he's an incredibly talented drummer. He's drummed on all the tracks that I've released as a solo artist. And that's always special to get to make music with your family. And so And then him and I, we dabbled in producing. We produced an album or two before, like as a, we made a project with our cousins called 321 Famous, which was like a satirical pop album, almost like Outkast mixed with Gorillaz, and maybe a little Tenacious D, you know. And we love Beck. Beck was always, I think, a big influence on that project we made. But 321 Famous is on all the stream, or like Spotify, Apple Music, Rhapsody, you know, all those. And then, and then my brother and I, we did some TV film music as well. Got, you know, lucky enough to get some opportunities to do stuff on assignment, land some TV theme songs like Game Show Network, MTV. We did the theme song to Lingo on Game Show Network. That was so exciting to hear a song or a track that we had made. Just kind of like real quick turnaround, you know. They're like, hey, we need this in 24 or 48 hours, you know, and here's the leads from the client, you know, and or what kind of a sound they're going for. And then, you know, you just kind of give it a whirl, and, you know, it seems like the variables, it's kind of that thing of the more you keep at it and the higher, the bigger the chances are that, you know, you're going to succeed with whatever kind of a thing, you know, job you might be doing. Or so anyways, that was just an exciting collaboration with my brother. And then I grew up, you know, like I loved the, well, so like I grew up, there's a lot of the Christian music scene is very prevalent, you know, kind of in Nashville. And like, that was my dad and my uncle, they had been a part of like working with DC Talk. And if anybody knows these artists, like Michael W. Smith and, you know, Amy Grant, and really talented, sweet people. And so I grew up kind of in and around different sounds like that. But the, and then the country, you know, the country music was inevitable. I loved me some country in the 90s, like Vince Gill and Mark Chestnut, you know, Clint Black and George Strait. You know, it was fun to go to the rodeo a time or two here in town. And, you know, as a kid, they would have this thing, I think it was like called the calf. It's something like where they let the kids go out on the in the rodeo, and whoever can take the calf down wins a prize, you know. So it was fun to have some of those kind of like good old country memories and with my friends. And kind of grew up out in the country too, like away from Nashville. We were 30 to 45 minutes outside of Nashville, and it's just really, really pretty. Like Middle Tennessee is really vegetated because the Nashville Basin is like Middle Tennessee. It dips down the topographical, so it like makes for a lot of precipitation and humidity and pollen, but it, you know, makes really that lush green. Whenever you fly into Nashville, it's always beautiful just to see all the rolling hills and some pretty country we got here. I like turning my accent on a little bit. But the I love, it's been fun to see, like, you know, these cribs too. You just like, if you're, it's like feels like Hollywood Hills or something, but like country version. You know, you can see like Johnny Cash's estate. He was up in Hendersonville, and you know, he lived next to Roy Orbison, and which I think Marty Stewart lives in his estate at this point. But it's just cool, you know, just having an appreciation of the music history that took place or that's taken place here in Nashville. And then I got more into blues when I was 13 years old, like B.B. King and Dr. John, and saw them live. And it just, I felt like that changed my life. You know, I was like, okay, I want to be a musician, you know. And then I guess I grew up, I guess the music that I loved and listened to expanded, became a little more eclectic as I grew up, high school years, you know, got more into European and just worldly and like Asian, African acts, you know, all the different continents around the world. And just really always have found that fascinating, just all the different sounds that the universal language of music, you know, can make. And so I'm still dreaming to, I was going to try to get over to Europe this year, but of course COVID set into stone, and I was like, well, got to postpone that for now, I guess. But I know I'll get over there before too long, that's for sure.
Outstanding, outstanding. So you've got several MP3s and things going on out there. So what's some of the names of your songs, and where can people take advantage of hearing your songs?
Yes, sir. We've got I put the single out, Handful of Dreams, just in April of this year, and that's been, you know, a main focus amidst the COVID, and just trying to, you know, I've been lucky enough to get enough some different radio stations to even spin it once, you know, just it feels good to get some airtime, of course, the prior catalog that I had released was Can't Give Up EP back in 2012. It was that long ago because I had been focusing on acting kind of in between the two releases, and, you know, lived in New York City 3 years, LA 2 years. And I got in this indie rock drama called Mount Joy. And I'm not sure if it was on Netflix at one point, but I believe it's on, you know, either Amazon or any of those main carriers. Mount Joy, that was, we filmed that in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So that was cool country to, you know, go just explore. And I play a, you know, small town kind of musician. We have a band in the movie. And so that was fun to, we made actual tracks, for the movie at a studio in New York. And, you know, that was a whole kind of a, I was auditioning and stuff. I got in that circle. It was really fun. There's really, you know, there's nothing like it, auditioning, you know, and whenever you kind of might fit the part, and just to always try to practice or, you know, exercise, memorizing scripts or doing, you know, off the table reads, that sort of thing. But all that to say, Mount Joy was the reason I put the Can't Give Up EP out. Because I was pitching those songs to to that team that made Mount Joy, but none of my songs ended up making sense in the movie, which I totally understood. It just felt good to at least, you know, piece a project together. And my brother drums on that, and we do vocals together, so like kind of background vocals, harmonies, and we worked on. The gentleman that helped engineer it, Brad Bivens, he's super talented, really nice guy.
Interesting, highly interesting. So do you think that, let me rephrase that. Who would you like to open up for if you had a choice? You know, a lot of these people dream about, you know, opening up for certain groups and singer-songwriters, but who would you, Brandon, like to open up for if you had a choice?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, if I could, anybody, the first choice would be Radiohead. They've been highly influential on my music, and I know to some people that sounds cliche, but I gotta say that they're top of the pops there, you know. But I'd love to open for groups like Andy Schaaf. He's a bit more independent, but I think he played Coachella Festival, you know, and so he's playing some big festivals, at least here in America. And I would think that he's done some good touring overseas as well at this point. You know, I know NPR has had him on that, can't remember what that show is, when they're in that little office and the band, you know, is rocking out kind of in a more torn down fashion. But Andy Schaaf, he's fantastic.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Big time. So when is your next release, Brandon?
Next release, got a song called Repeat coming out on September 4th, and got a music video as well. And wrote that song with a friend, Jason Moore, fantastic, dear friend. He was in a band called the Katies, really talented, successful 90s kind of alternative rock group. And, We wrote this song about, I think, 5 or 6 years ago at this point. Really, I think it's a gem, and I'm so stoked to get it out there. And playing it on stage is always a blast, too.
Absolutely. Were you in any bands prior to performing your solo tracks?
I was, yeah, just lucky enough to, after growing up kind of in the Music City, you know, community, played with artists like Landon Pig, Frally Hines, the band that became Hot Shell Ray. I played in the early stages, just when in more, it was like a development stage. A friend of mine, or a session player friend of mine, like through family, his name's Gary Burnett, amazing guitar player. And hilarious too. He's got such a hilarious personality. But he had connected me, I think, with the future Hot Shell Ray act. But I didn't stay with that. I just, you know, didn't feel like I lined up with it. Maybe just on the same artistically speaking. And then got in another band called Mike's Pawn Shop, which was a great opportunity. And man, we played Lollapalooza in Chicago, like in Grant Park in 2009, and did South by Southwest, which was great. Played a place called Chuggin' Monkey, and then did crawfish boil festivals in like St. Augustine and trying to think, South Carolina, Greenville. I think Greenville was the town. And then we also did a crawfish boil here in Nashville, which was really fun, right on the river downtown. And We just kind of had an earlier, you know, slot in the day, but it was just so fun to just rock out and get you know, help wake the crowd up, you know, and get the party started.
Sweet, I understand. So Brandon, I'm gonna put you on the spot if I could. Would you happen to have your guitar or something in front of you, maybe for our listening audience, play a song or two of yours?
I would be obliged. Thank you so much for asking. I really appreciate it.
All right.
I got a song.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
This one's called Anyone with a Heart, and I wrote this with my brother, and goes a little something like this.
That was awesome. Pretty awesome.
Thanks.
So, what? Yes. That was pretty awesome.
No. Thank you so much.
So, where can people listen to that on the live streams and things?
That song, you know, that song hasn't come out just yet, but I'm waiting to get it at its A game, like a full on track, man. I hardly have any budget to work with at the moment, but I would love to get strings, you know, and like have a, because I just think it's so Burt Bacharach-y, you know, and it would just be so lovely to, you know, have a very like pleasant recording. But that one I look forward to recording. And again, though, like the other existing catalog that you can, or songs, you know, that you can access are on Spotify, Apple Music, under, if you search Brandon Lee Harris, and that's L-E-E, not L-E-I-G-H. It's a Brandon Lee, like Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee Harris.
Yes. So maybe we can learn something from you, Brandon. Riddle me this one. So every time, for example, someone plays a song of yours, does that mean you as a musician gets paid for that experience?
Hopefully. It's so funny because I'm so early on with this, like putting my actual solo stuff out. But yeah, they've definitely got, you know, system. I mean, if it's on a FM station, that all that stuff definitely is logged. And, you know, that's, I think it's FCC that you know, kind of monetizes and audits all that stuff, at least for, you know, all the intellectual property that's getting shared, you know, because, of course, it has a value. And and then you got the PROs that track things like TV film, you know, if depending on, I think, and I feel bad I don't know it more clearly than I do, but there is a, there's a couple other like sound exchange and sounds, what is that one? There's another, you know, companies that you want to make sure that you got, you've shared your details. And, also, you know, like with the PRO, you get like ISRC numbers, you know, that are tied to the, and that's more for record sales, I think. But yeah, there's IP numbers that when one is writing songs, you know, ASCAP, BMI, CSAC, they're all there to help help a songwriter, you know, track and, you know, kind of help to keep organized. And but yeah, I'm not sure how much stuff pays. That's kind of the one of the competition side of things, I feel like, is, you know, for independent artists to really hustle and get, you know, because I think you're kind of lining up with the major label action, and even, you know, there's very strong independent labels, you know, probably all fighting for the airtime in some way or another. So I'm always curious how much is pay to play as well, you know, because I think there's a lot of people that are just, you know, they've got the dough and they've got that budget ready to, you know, pay for that, you know, however many spins, and depending on what level, like there's probably different tiers of radio station based on popularity and guaranteed listeners amount. And then, but yeah, it's kind of interesting as we're kind of entering, as we have entered the podcast age, you know, or streaming, and you hope that there's some sort of honor just, like for the songs, you know, it's one thing to, you know, of course, to be able to forward people to where they can access that music, but just even for the exposure, you know, it's like if you're playing a concert in front of an arena, you know, if he goes, well, why, if there's 15,000 people that hear a song, you think that there would be some sort of redeeming, you know, factor where you go, even if it's just a song, you know, or a couple songs, just, and it may be a tidbit, but every penny counts, you know, on the pursuits of you know, really making it successful and getting that fan base. And that's, I'm in that process right now. I feel like I'm just
I am, you know, definitely trying to build a fan base and excited to, you know, have a crusade of sorts, you know, just where can, you know, have good times and be a part of that. It just sounds definitely like an honor. I for anybody to give 1 second of their ear and better yet, if they enjoy it, that makes me feel like, you know, we're doing the right thing as long as it's enjoyed. I never want to be annoying to anybody's ear.
I understand. It's, you know, it's in fact a signature of your ability. So, you know, the more people you have listening and they like it, then, you know, it's like, okay, this is happening. And so let me ask you this. Where is your favorite place to have performed? I mean, you perform many concerts and things, obviously. So where would be one of your favorites?
Yeah, oh, man, festivals. Festivals are, I'm just even, you know, I haven't gotten to play, like, to a massive festival crowd just yet. But, man, I it's so fun, you know, when there's that many people. And even if the temperature is hot or cold, you know, it's just kind of, it's something about playing outside in nature, too. Like, if you're in, like, a park or, I want to someday, I feel like a list of places I'd love to play, you know, Red Rocks in Denver. I'd love to play there someday. And then a Hollywood Bowl out in LA you know, there's some different ballrooms and theaters in New York that I'd love to play. Real cozy, kind of old school kind of like 30s, you know, theaters from the 20s or 30s. And then really, like, man, just to go overseas, love to play, like, you know, famous halls and I love to play Fuji Rock Festival in Japan. Sounds like always such a blast of an occasion, you know, and be so fun.
Nice. So you've been doing music for how many years now?
Well, got my first guitar when I was 10, and I'm 34, so I guess if that counts, it would be 24 years I've been playing guitar. I did piano lessons. Took a year or two, I think, of Suzuki method piano lessons when I was maybe 5 or 6. And I had a hard time being sitting still as a kid. I was one of those, you know, kids that's just kind of got a lot of energy and just excited to run and jump around. But they were patient with me. My teacher, her name was Sybil Dyson, and she was a sweet elder lady that would teach my brother and I piano.
Nice. And so what is your favorite guitar?
Man, I got a Tele. That's kind of the guitar I'm never going to part ways with, but I really want to get a Gretsch at some point. They're definitely a little pricier, but man, I love the Tennessee Rose. That Gretsch has always been my a dream guitar.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced, like, in a live show, one of your strings busting and things?
Yes, I have, and definitely just push on through and rock out. You know, it kind of makes it, you know, have a different twist on, and this, you know, makes every night or every show different. You know.
Surely. So, Brandon, give us a list and rundown of all your songs, and where people can take advantage of listening to these songs all over the country and around the world.
Yes, sir. It's Can't Give Up and Morning Melody and The Air Is Clean make up the Can't Give Up EP. So it's a 3-track EP, and that's all, you know, on Spotify, Apple Music, Rhapsody, all the, I honestly use DistroKid has been my tool to get it out to all the streaming providers. And then really, Handful of Dreams is the only other like that I have under my Brandon Lee Harris name, but that's on all the the Spotify and Apple Music and everything. And then Octajon is a side project my brother and I have been working on. We got one single out. That's spelled Octajohn, and we got a guest singer on there, and her voice is awesome. Her name's Mena, and that's a little more poppier. It's kind of an electro pop act, but really, you know, really, it got three more tracks ready to be mixed for that, and that's, you know, it's kind of coming out of our own budget, so it's why it's taking so long to, because just, you know, how, especially with the COVID, it's like changing up of where, what kind of dough is being made or what kind of budgets are going on. It's has been a little more in the air, as they say, but yeah, super stoked to get those three tracks out. Got other guest vocalists like Charlie Whitten, Molly Pardon, Lindsey Jameson, and Grayson Sanford are some of the guest vocalists on that, and coming out before too long is what I would that'd be the way I'd tag it. But then again, 3-2-1 Famous, that album is a really fun, full album you can spin through. And I sing, my character name in the album is Lil Soft, and or Mercy Hawk, aka Mercy Hawk, kind of old surnames. But you know, we're rapping, rhyming, singing and jiving, and my brother and I and my cousins, we were, you know, on that, and we wrote and produced it, and engineered, my brother engineered that. It was really his baby, you know, I felt like, and he went up to New York, got that album mixed full on. So it's a heavy hitter, if you ask me.
Nice. Do you do like private arrangements, like weddings and bar mitzvahs and different things like that, or no?
You know, I haven't, honestly, but you know, I would. Of course, it sounds interesting. At least, I wouldn't have like a lot of cover songs to work with. You know, that's probably usually the preference. But yeah, definitely. I mean, I'd be totally open to, you know, if anybody had any desire to hire a random artist like myself to, you know, come in and try to serenade the occasion. And I love the good romantic atmospheres, of course. It's always, you know, lovely to be a part of.
Absolutely. So, Brandon, tell our listening audience where they can get in touch with you, you know, if they'd ever want to, you know, interview you, hire you, you know, all things are possible if you only believe. So
yeah,
give us some information how to get in touch with you and how to listen to all your songs and things.
Absolutely, yeah. Feel free to put my email straight up. Brandon@BrandonLeeHarris.com. And that's just Brandon at BrandonLeeHarris.com. And, you know, BrandonLeeHarris.com is where my site is, and it's got all the links to the social media and the sound, you know, I think Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud. And on all those pages should have contact info. Maybe not on Spotify, Apple Music. I don't think they have like a way to, like a contact links. But yeah, there's a way you can hop on my mailing list as well on BrandonLeeHarris.com. If you just scroll down and throw your email in there, and you can be kept in the loop of whenever tour dates are announced and future releases.
Awesome. So do you have like a favorite song of yours that like stands out more so than the others?
You know, Air Is Clean, which you can hear on Spotify and Apple Music and everything. That Air Is Clean is a very fun real up-paced track. And I like the level of the rock level that it goes to. Kind of takes you on a journey to Camelot, so that one at least comes to mind off the top of my head.
And how long does it usually take you from start to finish to create, compose, and deliver a song?
Well, you know, I feel like there's kind of, I almost categorize like some, I do, I like a, I've been making tracks even with my pops last month and a half, but it's been some more like the country style and pop actually, you know, and but like honestly, we can get a track pieced together in even just a couple days. But I think that this has been, you know, I've just been real super sensitive, maybe overly sensitive about who does what with what on my own music. You know, it's like sort of I've been just trying to figure out how much do I want to dive in, you know, it's like, or, you know, expectations and such, but yeah, no, ultimately too, right now, I would love to build, I'm trying to build a team, you know, like as far as booking and you know, management and the different marketing. Ultimately, like if I signed with a label, that would be great, because I know there's only so much I can do on my own. And you know, if the right deal, you know, showed itself, I would very much, you know, I'd be obliged and, you know, excited to see what that deal would consist of. And, you know, just having a teamwork makes the dream work, I think, is the spirit, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Brandon, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on my show today.
Thanks, Warren.
Before we go, let's plug all your songs again one more time and all the information.
Yes,
where people can take advantage of to listen and purchase your songs.
Absolutely. And so BrandonLeeHarris.com, that's got all the links to everything to keep you in the loop of what's shaking and quaking. And, you know, my EP, Can't Give Up EP, back in 2012, has three songs on it. Can't Give Up, Morning Melody. And the third song is The Air Is Clean. It's a good one to start your day off, or if you need like a little pep up, you know, if you turn on The Air Is Clean, I think it could get you dancing. and then the other single I just put out earlier this year, Handful of Dreams, is available on all the, you can get links to those on, you know, just even going to BrandonLeeHarris.com, will be able to shoot you out to whatever, you know, streaming you might subscribe to, whether it's Spotify or Apple Music or all the other ones as well. And then got the new song coming out September. Yes, sir. You got the September 4th will be the new track. And yeah, that song will be called Repeat.
Nice. Okay, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time out of your awesome and valuable day to spend some time with Lars J. King on Book Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time, too. And look forward to seeing y'all at the venues. I think if you search national venue, independent venue organization, if you feel led to support it, they could use any little help they could get.
Okay. Food for thought. All right, Brandon, you have an awesome day. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much. You too.
Bye now. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon Lee Harris, an amazing and an outstanding musician, graced us with his appearance today on Book Talk Radio. So get out there and figure it out. He's giving you all the information on where to get these songs, how to listen to them. He's an awesome dude. He's sweeping the country and sweeping the nation as we speak, and is getting to be known and well-known overseas as well. So this is Lawrence J. King out of the house at Book Talk Radio. And thank you for tuning in today. Tune in next time when you hear me say Book Talk Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you.